We got a lot going on today, but I want to welcome you into the beginning of our church year. This is the beginning of the church year for us, the first Sunday in Advent, and we are prepping for the Christmas season. So let's pray and then do absolution and confession. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your only Son to rescue us, to heal us of our infirmities, to forgive us of our sins, to save us from the death and corruption of this world. Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill us right now, that you open our hearts so that we can hear you, that we can hear your heart, that we can hear you say, I love you, I died for you, and I am restoring you to something beautiful. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so as part of our restoration, we engage in repentance and receive forgiveness. Because as Christians, we recognize that we are broken and in need of a Savior. And we are trying to live in the forgiveness that Jesus has offered us, and we need to do this daily. At least you guys get it at least once a week, but I'm encouraging you to go through this daily, to recognize I've not done everything perfectly. The people around me aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. Lord, forgive us. And then to hear God say, I do forgive you for the sake of Jesus. So on page D in the books, we have the prayer of confession. And let's all pray this together, saying, Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I thereby forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For our first reading for today is found in Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. It's on page 281. This is the reading of God's word. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and have given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Lord, thank you for your word. And we ask, we pray this. Shine your face upon us that we may be saved. And we hear you say, I am coming back for you. I have saved you and I will save you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 You may be seated. One second.
I just want to do this.
So Adam still wants to talk.
All the stuff that religious guys wear, I didn't know what it ever meant, and I thought, that's weird. Just wear a t-shirt. Well, now I'm learning as I grow and get older. And so what this thing is called the stole, and this is like the yoke. that Christ puts on the man of God, and the yoke is easy and light. And in fact, the yoke is the word of God. So when we're wearing this, this is like we're speaking the words of God to you, and we're taking it very seriously. When I don't have it on, you need to take everything with a grain of salt that I'm saying. It's not authoritative, and I might say crazy things, and you might get confused, but it's helpful to go, wait, Adam or Matt had this on. Listen, they didn't. Okay, that was a little crazy. Or that was really good. You're free. But this is, so I thought that was cool. It's a new season, and it goes with the calendar, so I'm putting it on Matt today. He's bringing you the Word of God.
Thank you.
Don't mess it up.
Well, let's hear from the Word of God. Our second reading for the Advent season is Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. It is on page 361 in your Bibles. Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known among your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look. We are all your people. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Our third reading for today is Mark chapter 13. Verses 20, is that right? Yeah, sorry, I'm in Matthew. Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 27, and then we'll skip down to 32 through 37. So Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 27, and verses 32 through 37. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the reading of God's word. So we are in the Advent season. We are in the preparation of celebrating Christ's birth. The first advent of Jesus. And for the kids, we're in preparation for Christmas, for presents. Jack, are you getting like a little excited? Yeah. Yeah, this is a season of excitement and sadness. I think for kids, there's excitement. We're starting to see the decorations go up. Our neighborhoods are starting to light up with Christmas lights. People are getting ready, and we're excited because school is going to be over. We're going to have a break, and presents are coming. But then there's a little bit of sadness because it's not here quite yet. And that's, as kids, I remember, like, as it got closer to Christmas, it became harder and harder for me to sleep because I would just get more and more excited for the time. Like, Ryan, Christmas Eve, is it hard for you to fall asleep? Are you up, like, super early? Ready? Yeah, you're just ready. And your parents are like, why? Sadness. Yes. And so now as an adult, Matt, I'm realizing the Christmas season, I stay awake for different reasons. That I don't have that childlike joy or excitement anymore. There's more worries and cares that the Christmas season starts to bring. There's demands that I want this to be a really good time for my family. And we start to carry that, and there's a lot more sorrow or sadness. We have loved ones who we want to see, especially this year. There's people that we usually would celebrate with and want to be with. And there's some sadness there. There's sorrow. Advent, the season of Advent, the season of Christmas, is a season of sorrow and joy. And as Christians, we have lives that are intertwined with sorrow and joy. But it's not the sorrow and joy of the world. It's different. It's true sorrow and pure joy. The world somehow always seems surprised and shocked when bad things happen. When politicians end up being corrupt or movie stars get divorced, we're always like, what? How? That's the world's reaction. They're somehow always surprised. How is there sickness? Oh, 2020 is awful, but 2021 will be great. Like, there's always this naive shock or sorrow to the brokenness of the world, but as Christians, we're awake. Christ wakes us up, and we're not shocked. As we slowly mature in our Christianity, we become more and more aware of the brokenness of the world. And we're not shocked at the bad things that happen because we become more and more aware of the brokenness inside of us. And there's true sorrow because we realize things aren't right. Jesus came, but things are still not right. Things are broken. People die. Loved ones are lost. There's cruelty. There's pain. There's sickness. And we're not shocked by that. We mourn it. We know that the world can't be right because I'm not right. Because I'm constantly struggling with anger, with fear, with anxiety, with pain and hurt. So of course the world is broken. Of course bad things happen. Of course babies cry. We're not shocked by that. In fact, we become more shocked. The world asks the question, how can bad things happen? We, as Christians, start asking, how can good things happen? That's the sorrow of us, the sorrow of the church, is we live in a world that is not right. But we also have pure joy because we have a Savior who says, who promises here in his word, says, I've come for you once and I'm coming back. I'm going to rend the heavens open and I'm coming back and I will make things right. I promise I am coming back for you. And as the church, we begin to grow into that joy. Because we know things are not right, but we're looking and trusting in the promise that one day things will be made right. So we start Advent season with some odd readings here. We have to view Jesus' first advent, Jesus' first appearance, in the light of his second. We have to start at the end, because Jesus knows our hearts. He says, I need you to know the end. I need you to know what we're looking toward, because I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to clean you. And as soon as I wash you and clean you, you're going to start realizing how dirty the world is. And you're going to be shocked and dismayed by it. But I need you to know that I'm coming back, that the work isn't finished. That when I come back, I will break the corrupt powers of this world. I will destroy the destroyers of the earth, and I will make everything right. Jesus showed up for us. In his first advent, he leads us out of our dungeons of despair and hopelessness. And then he says, I'm going to come back again. I'm going to lead you into my kingdom. I'm going to lead you into a world made right, and a world that's beautiful again. But Jesus didn't just show up and then lead us out of our dungeons and say, okay, now wait here alone and try to tough it out. And I promise I'll return one day. Good luck. Jesus doesn't do that. He says, while you wait, I'm going to be with you. I have to be with you because I know you. I have to gather you together around my word, around my new story. I have to gather you around a table where you eat and drink my body and blood. I have to bring you into my house and wash you and cleanse you and recreate you. I have to be with you while you wait because I know you. I know you. If I didn't, if I just left you all to your own devices, you would walk willingly right back into the dungeons I freed you from. Your dungeons of despair and hopelessness, and you'll be with the world who is shocked and surprised every time something bad happens, and whose joy is fleeting and temporary, who has no anchor to the promised return of Christ. And so this is why we gather. This is why we are here, to be reminded, to be recreated, to be restoried by Jesus, who says, I've come for you. I set you free. I'm leading you into a life that I will walk you through the sorrows of this world, the sorrow of everything that's not right, into the reality of the world to come, into true joy, that you can suffer the brokenness of this world because you know that one day I'm coming back for you and I'll make things right again. This is the promise and the hope that we have. This is how the church continues. It's because we know we have a Savior who's come for us, who's with us right now, and will come for us again. And that all those who have gone ahead of us with Christ, we will be reunited with, and we will be on a beautiful recreated earth with our Savior and with our friends and family who we love. This is the hope of the Advent season. That Christ hasn't just shown up once, but he's coming back again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for promising to come back for us. Thank you for being with us right now. Thank you for giving us your word and your things to gather around, where we are restored by you, cleansed by you, fed by you, clothed by you, where we're given new stories to live in, where we're given a future to hope for and strive toward. Thank you. And Lord, we are excited that we get to participate in your recreation, and that we get to introduce and welcome in Hattie to this amazing family that you've created. That through your word and water, that Hattie today is going to be washed and cleansed and given the hope of resurrection, given the hope of a Savior who's coming back for her. Given the power of the Holy Spirit who will continue to be with her, that says, keep going, hang on. Nothing will be too great because your Savior can overcome it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us yourself. We thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, right now we invite the Lanos up and anyone else that they have. And we are going to baptize Hattie Mae into the church. Here you go. You get to wear this, bud.
I've been dying to put this on.
Pass the torch.
It looked all right, so now I'll do it. We gather around for baptism. It's baptism over the years. We've slowly been growing in our understanding of what it is. And when we first started, or at least when I first started, I thought baptism was only a time when you said, oh, I believe in Jesus. And it is that as you get older, but it's not only that. And as you mature in your faith, you start to realize when I got baptized, whether I was 20 years old or 80 years old, I knew nothing. I barely knew it. I just knew I want to know Jesus. And so then you realize we all come in to our faith just like Hattie. All Hattie knows right now is Mommy. She's going to like Mommy a lot more than Pastor Adam. That's all she knows. And that's all you know when you come to faith in Christ. All you know is I love Jesus. It's not based on knowledge, it's based on mama, daddy, which is really cool, because what it does is baptism then brings you into the body of Christ. Jesus says, dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus. We're having a little Pentecostal church up here. They're just praising the Lord. And that's okay, don't worry about it. I have to just adjust. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. What that means is it saves you because you are being marked by God Jesus has said, I have authority, and I use water with my word to cleanse you of your sins. It's a promise and a mark. It's not based on what you know or any of that. It's a work of God. And so now you are in the body of Christ. And when you are in the body of Christ, you are safe because his body lives forever. You cannot die. And so when we baptize our children or baptize one another, we're saying you are receiving the mark of the Holy Spirit by his word and by faith, and we're putting it on you. You're being cleansed of your sins, so now you can be a part of the body of Christ. And where is the body of Christ right now? Well, the right hand of God the Father, and he calls his church. Everywhere that gathers around the word of God, partaking of his body and blood, you are the body of Christ on earth. It's kind of cool. So baptism is incorporation into his church, which is his body. So not only is it a great comfort to say, if something happens, we don't know. God knows, though. He's marked Hattie, so we have comfort. We know that Hattie is one of God's. Praise God. And then we raise her to love and fear God so she would never walk away. She would always confess Christ. It's a great benefit. But it's a source of comfort to all of us, and she's becoming a part of our family, that we are brothers and sisters under one Father, God the Father. So part of the baptism is incorporation into the body of Christ. You're being cleansed, and then you're allowed to eat the body and blood of Christ. It's kind of cool. So Christ does this by his authority. So what we're celebrating here is that God is putting his word on this child, cleansing her, giving the Holy Spirit his word. And Jesus is now interceding on behalf of Hattie. We know this to be true because our Savior's told it to us. And he says, now do this. So that's what we're doing. And it's pretty exciting. So, how are you named? You give me her full name for everybody.
Hattie Mae Lanu.
Good. Let me just do this. This is perfect. Let me just set it up. Hattie, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why I keep touching. All right, as we prepare, let's pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan, of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Hattie according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die, all her sins. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then throughout church history, I was telling my kids about this, but especially back kind of throughout history where there's a lot of death around, you would always have sponsors for 2 reasons. One is if something happens to us, you're going to take care of our kids. But in the church, it's even bigger than that, that they would have somebody in the church always praying for. It's the godparents. And the job of a godparent or a sponsor is to be praying for, to be encouraging. Like, your job now for this child is to be a spiritual guide. And so we take it seriously. And we're starting to give that responsibility to people at moments like this. And so Troy and Tiffany have given that responsibility. I think with Millie, it's Kathy. And Kathy's coming, so I should talk a little more, right? But she's also going to be, so Kathy, again, okay. Now I'm remembering last time, too. All right. So Michael and Kathy represent 2 different families, and they represent, they're going to be the sponsors for these kids. So that means they're going to care for and pray, and throughout their whole life, you're praying for these children, and you're encouraging them. And so I'll just ask you to respond. you say yes with that with God. Is it your intention to serve Hattie as sponsors in the Christian faith? God enable you both, you and Kathy, to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with His grace, fulfill what you are unable to do. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So what I'm going to do is we're going to all pray the Lord's Prayer over Hattie.
I know, right? I want to eat it. Yeah.
She wears the same as the turkey.
Millie got baptized in the same outfit, but barely.
Overflowing. With goodness and grace. All right, let's say together the prayer our Lord taught us, our disciples pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out. This time forth, forevermore.
Amen.
At this point, I think you should stand up here the whole time if you want.
Yeah.
So I'll ask Troy and Tiffany to answer these questions on behalf of Hattie. And basically, it's just going through our ancient creed. You'll notice and recognize it's the Apostles' Creed. So Troy and Tiffany, do you renounce the devil? Say, yes, I renounce him.
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes.
Yes.
I renounce him. Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
That's good. And this is part of the ancient thing when you renounce the devil. It's one of the few times in your life you do that publicly, and it's more important than you think. Just, you got to trust us on this. You can do it any time in the name of Jesus, but they just did it publicly before God. They renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways. Do you believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I do.
That's good. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I do.
Do you desire Hattie to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
She's gonna wake up.
That's okay. I've been working out for this day.
She can't do it. Oh my gosh.
Oh, she's the spirit that just filled her.
Resting.
Oh, I want everyone to see this.
Oh, it's so sweet.
Hattie Mae Alana, I baptize you, because you mean a lot. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Hattie, for the washing and regeneration of your Holy Spirit. Bless her and fill her and mark her as one of yours. We take you at your word and we say thank you. Thank you for this child who is loved by you and loved by her parents. We say thank you. And we pray for her and bless her. And we know that all the angels celebrate today that she is now a rightful heir, an inheritor of all the good things of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, so sweet.
She's adorable. Oh, she's adorable. Oh my goodness. She's the cutest.
Something has happened. She literally is awake. It's just nice where it's the power of the Holy Spirit. We seal you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are God's child.
Aww. Amen.
Amen. All right.
All right.
give her the...
Oh, yes. Here. So there's a towel, but she seems to be okay.
Yeah, she seems good.
We're going to give you your certificate to remember this day. And then we always get a book that's special for Hattie about her baptism. So you read this to her. And every year, so the baptism is like another birthday where you remember this was the day I was marked and set apart as God's. And that's the story we give our children. You are chosen and beloved and set apart with a different story and a different family that's eternal. And so we give you these things, and then we give you a candle. I don't have it with me now, but we'll get you your candle where you remember now you are the light of the world. Hattie, you've already lit up this place. It's that she carries the light of the world. And so any kind of thing we can get to remember and encourage that for our kids, we do. Because it's worth it. Okay, so, one last thing. There's a thing for the church to say together. I'm going to read this, and then you all will say, amen, we welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Okay?
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Hattie, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures in heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We say,
amen. Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Yeah. Oh, there she is.
Just get out of here. We're going to stare at each other.
Thank you.
I love this.
So now we celebrate with the Lord's Supper, where Jesus continues to give us his gifts and says, I am with you. Whatever you're going through right now, I am with you. Here is my body and my blood. Take and eat of it. So we celebrate this meal together as the washed and recreated church. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for being present with us. And Lord, we take the bread and wine in faith. That it is your body and blood, because your word says it is. And that we are now part of your body that will live forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we are going to, I've got to find my mask, do what we used to do, where we invite you to come up to us as a family, to Adam or myself, and we will do a prayer and give you the Lord's Supper. So come up as you are ready.
Remember, the outside is wine and the inside is grape juice.
True body of Christ given for you. Likewise, the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, just put it in the mouth. Lord, thank you for Christina. Thank you for Mabel. Thank you for our family. Lord, thank you for being with us. And Lord, I just continue to ask that you lead us into the joy of being remade, the joy of being with you forever and being with together forever, that we get to be a family forever. Thank you, Lord. Continue to seal that joy upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Kevin and Marcia, this is the true body of Christ given for you. Likewise, this is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Kevin and Marcia, receive the joy of the Lord. The Lord who says, I love you and I'm coming back for you. I'm with you now and I will be with you forever. Lord, thank you for Kevin and Marcia. Thank you for their faithfulness to you and for the sharing of their gifts with your church. Give them joy this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Mom and Dad, this is the true body of Christ given for you. Likewise, this is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, thank you for my mother and father and for the blessing that they have been to me and my family. I ask, Lord, that you continue to lead them into joy and peace. They take off any anxiety or anger or frustration. That you give them your joy. That you have been faithful to them. That you've been faithful to their kids. And you will be faithful to their kids' kids. And that we will all be together with you forever and ever. Lord, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. That was the water from the Nunziatos. This is the true body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you. Take, eat, and drink. Lord, thank you for Dave, Julie, and Ryan. Lord, I ask that you lead them into your joy this Advent season. The joy that you are with them, and that they will be together with you forever and ever and with one another. Lord, give them peace and rest. And allow this Christmas season to be an amazing, joyous one of love and family and just good cheer, Lord. Thank you. I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah. The whole family. Oh, you're okay. This is the true body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. Take, eat, and drink of it. Lord, I thank you for this amazing family of faith. Lord, I ask that you lead them into joy this season. That you release them from any fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, despair. That you lead them into your comfort and joy. That they can know that you are with them now and you will be with them forever. And because of that, they will be together forever. Lord, thank you for this beautiful family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
No, sorry. I didn't even realize you hadn't.
Yeah.
Jumped the gun there. Porters, this is the true body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you. Take, eat, and drink. Inside grape, outside wine. Lord, I thank you for Dawn, Nate, and Sabrina. Lord, I ask that you lead them into joy this Christmas season. That you release them of any anxiety or anger or fear or frustration. And that you give them your comfort, your joy, your peace. That this can be a restorative time where they know that you are with them and that they are loved and cared for. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Salisbury's. This is the true body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you. Take, eat, and drink of it. Salisbury's. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this family. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that they give to your family. Lord, I ask that you take any anger, any fear, and that you replace it with your comfort and your joy. Lord, allow them to know that you are with them, that you love them, that you're coming back for them, that they will inherit a world made right, where there is no sickness, where there is no arguments, where there is no ridiculous things happening to us, and that we are free to live in the love and life that you have made for us. Give them that hope and that joy this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Winters, this is the true body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take, eat, and drink of it. So. You want that one? There you go. Winters, your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this family. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for the gifts that they bring to our church, to your family. Lord, I ask that you continue to lead them into joy this season. That you remind them that you are with them, that you love them and care for them. That they are special to you, and that they are part of a family who loves them and cares for them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome, Art. Mike and Miranda, this is the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. Likewise, this is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Mike and Miranda, I announce that your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this family. I thank you for their faithfulness to you. And Lord, I ask that you continue to lead them into your joy, into the eternal pure joy that you have ahead for them. That you replace any anger, any fear, any frustration with your peace, with your comfort, with your love. Lord, I ask these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. True body of Christ, given for you, take and eat of it. Likewise, the true blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, take and drink of it. Adam, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for Adam. Thank you for the gifts that he shares with your church, with your people. I ask, Lord, that you lead him into your joy, your comfort and joy this Christmas season, that we will be with you forever in a world made right. In Jesus' name, amen.
What do you announce?
Oh, yeah. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we declare Christ's death and coming again. Let's celebrate. Let's sing some more Christmas songs.
Special Christmas song going out for the Niederreisers.
All right. So, one, I want to remind you that in this season of giving, to give. That as we receive from God in response to Him, we just say, Lord, thank you, and we trust you. For provision, for life, for joy, for peace, for comfort. And so God has provided this discipline of tithing as a way to retrain us, to rethink our relationship to money and to provision, and to trust Him and remember that He gives us every good thing, that He actually loves us and cares for us. And so we have the offering plates over there, and we also have giving online. If you go to our website, and there's a giving section that you can go through that as well. All right. We have potluck right after this to celebrate Hattie's baptism. And then this Wednesday, we have our first baby steps meeting where we are going to go over what we believe as a church. And so there's our podcast called Baby Steps on iTunes and Google. And we'd really love for you to listen to the first 10 or 9 episodes. It goes over the Ten Commandments. And on Wednesday night, we are going to talk about it and kind of go over what we believe as a church and why that's important to us. And so we'd really like for you all to be there. So the next two Wednesdays, we're going to go over this. And really, we'd like you to be there for at least one. Just so we can give you all a chance. I know things are busy, and we're ramping up for the Christmas holiday season. But if you can at least make it to one, either this Wednesday or next Wednesday, that would be great. So we can kind of go over what we believe, why we're doing this, and what we hope this will do and shape for our future. Bring your kids. There's not going to be youth group. I want your kids to be in on this as well, because spoiler alert, they just went through all of this
twice,
and they probably have some really good insights on the Ten Commandments, on the Catechism. So please bring them so they can at least show off their knowledge in front of you all.
They actually know the Ten Commandments.
So, yes. So please bring them. They will be part of the conversation. It'll be fun.
What time?
We'll start at 6:30. Come at 6:30. We'll probably start at 7. 7 to 8. All right. Any other? Awesome. Thank you for that. That's a great gift for the season. All right. Well, let's bless. And then I'm just going to pray for the food now. And then let's just get over there and start going. So first I'll bless you, and then we'll pray for the food. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And then, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all your amazing gifts. Thank you for the food that is next door. I ask that you bless our time with one another. And thank you for Hattie. In Jesus' name, amen.